The following program is brought to you by Sports Radio New York.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of Sports Talk 1240 on WGBB, broadcasting from our studios in West Babylon, New York, where we're going to call this show tonight Islander Tag Team. That's right, folks. It's a three-on-one. It's not a menage a trois. It's a menage a trois plus one. With me, of course, I'm Gary Harding, and of course, John Panarese, my tag team partner, as always, is here tonight. And we got John Sweeney here, our third Islander fan, and coming in the cleanup spot, who did a great show last week lamenting over the unfortunate loss of the Rangers to the L.A. Kings, Derek Wasiak. Good evening, everybody, and welcome. This is like a nice night tonight.
Be interesting.
It sure is. We're gonna talk a little bit in the first half hour about the NHL draft, which is coming up on Friday in Philadelphia. We got the fifth person coming on, four Islander against one Ranger, but Paul Kreischer is one of the writers that writes for me on Isles Talk, and he is my draft expert. He does a great job. If you ever check out the Isles Talk website, he's done a lot of previews on many of the guys that are going to be coming up in the draft, especially in the case of the Islanders, as the Islanders will be having the number, right now, today, the number five draft pick. And who knows what could happen between now and Friday. But so, John, what do you say?
I'm looking forward to hear what he has to say. And I'm excited about the fifth overall pick, but I would like to see it be traded myself.
There's a lot of rumblings going on. A lot of people are saying that Garth could possibly move up even as high as one. I mean, some of his thoughts could be, I guess, at the potential of possibly getting a second Reinhardt, you know, to add on to the squad.
You could go get. I'd be very happy with Sam move up, trade with Florida. Florida's got the first pick. You get Bennett, Ekbold. Aaron Ekbold's supposed to be the Drew Downey of defense. But Sam and his brother playing together is smiles to my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it would be a great combination. Of course, we all know the job that Griffin Reinhardt did in the Memorial Cup, winning for the Edmonton Oil Kings.
Yeah,
he. I don't know if you saw the games, but to me, he's, you know, he is a 19-year-old kid that's got a 25-year-old body and plays the game like a well-seasoned veteran. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens to that. And, Derek, I didn't get to talk to you on the show. I was hoping to try to get you get a call in, but, you know, you had your bunch of your friends lamenting, and I totally understand. And, you know, watching game five, and it must have been a tough but a nice, still a nice season for the Rangers, nevertheless.
So what you're saying is you enjoyed the funeral. Is that what you're telling me? Because that's basically what it worked out to be. But let me just say, the one positive I took out of this, and this just has to do with my life as being a diehard sports fan, is the one thing I realized is that I never lost that passionate, intense, diehard feeling for the Rangers. Because for the longest time, year after year, I would say, you know, I got my cup in 94. I'll always be grateful. When the Rangers would miss the playoffs, they had seven straight years where they missed the playoffs after Gretzky was gone.
Right.
And then anytime they got eliminated, past years, I would, you know, as soon as it was over, I would say, you know, thank you, Mike Keenan. Thank you, Messier. Thank you, Kovalev. You know, right down the line. And I would always just fall back on the fact that I got something I never thought I was going to see. And I almost thought, because I always told people that it was so much more devastating. Even regular season games, I took more to heart before the Rangers won that cup in 94.
Right.
And in the playoffs, especially, even more intense, the hatred for the Islanders or the Penguins in the early 90s and all that, what was going on in my life. So it was nice to get back to realizing that that pain and suffering really never went away. Just it was lessened by the 94 Cup, but this year in the playoffs, especially getting so close, because it was only the third time I've ever seen him play in the Stanley Cup, I realized I never lost that diehard passion and feeling, and I got back to spending a lot of time with family like I used to do as a kid during the playoff season. So that was probably the one big positive I took out of this whole thing.
I'm glad you
did. Because with the Yankees, I was a big Yankee fan growing up, but they won when I was young. And I was a big Yankee and Met fan because I was a big Thurman Munson guy. I was a big Dave Kingman guy. Then I was a big Guidry and Mattingly guy. And
oh, wow. You have to talk after that.
And I was big time with Gary Carter and Doc Gooden. So, but even when the Mets won their World Series in 86, after I got out of high school, I lost that diehard, passionate following for the Mets. And I got to be honest with you, if the Jets would have just done me the favor and won the Super Bowl either back in 09 or 2010 mm-hmm. when they got to the title games, I probably would have, you know, given them the finger now too, with what's going on, with what's going on, you know, in the circus show that surrounds the Jets, with Rex Ryan and everything, this latest thing with the playbook.
That's for another day.
So that was the one big positive I took out of it. That hockey is definitely always and will always be number one in my life, and with the family, big Italian family, we agonized, we celebrated together getting there, and we agonized in the end. And I was happy that it never went away.
But it was, but it was a fun time for you, and I'm glad to hear that. But we do have our guest online.
Because this is your time. I just want to say, my time ended last week. My time ended on
the Rangers. No, we're going to have
my time ended last week. Now this is your time. This is your time.
We're going to have fun. And actually, during the second during our second half hour, we're going to take calls. So if you're listening to the show, you can call in after 9:30. The phone number is 631-888-8811. But right now, we're going to bring in our guest. And John and I know this gentleman very well. He's one of the fellow writers on Al's Talk, and he is without a doubt my. My draft guru, if you will. His name is Paul Kreiser. He's calling from Pennsylvania. And, Paul, good evening, and how are you tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen. First time, long time.
Yeah, first time, long time. Welcome aboard, my friend. John, I feel like I'm making a mad dog.
How you doing, Paul? That's where I got it from. Hey.
Yeah, exactly. So, Paul, again, for those of you that, like I said, haven't checked out alstalk.com lately, Paul's been writing a lot of articles regarding a lot of the guys that are in the, you know, the top 10 or so people that are going to be coming up in the draft. Why don't you just... right now, just give a quick synopsis of where, if we had to put a gun to you, and if no picks were traded or anything like that, right now, you got Florida at number one, Buffalo at two, Edmonton three, Calgary four, the Islanders five, and Vancouver at six. Where would you, right now, throw your crystal ball up and say, who would you picks would be from, say, one to six? And just give a quick synopsis as to why you think it would be.
Well, this is very easy, and in this kind of draft, they say it's not that deep. And the reason why they say it's not that deep is because they pretty much have had their top five set since January. There really has not been much movement. The Panthers are going to pick Aaron Ekblad with the first pick. He is the top defenseman in this draft. He had the Ontario Hockey League exception rule. Meaning he was able to come in at a much younger age, and only one other player, I don't know, some guy named Tavares, was the only other one allowed, that exception rule. So Ekblad is the real deal. When Ekblad, when people think of Ekblad, they think of Shea Weber. That's the best, at least in terms of his style, and not necessarily the potential. So
mostly due to the size, because we were actually talking off air, and we were comparing him also to almost to Doughty. But actually, when I look at it, you see he's 6'3", 216, so he's got the size of the Shea Weber.
Yeah. No matter what, whether it's Weber or Doughty, you can build your franchise around Ekblad.
Okay. Now looking at number. Again, I have a mock draft in front of me, but at number two, and this is the one we were kind of talking a lot on air and, you know, talking about, and we'll talk about it before we get you off about where you think the Islanders would go, but they got Sam Reinhart here. Do you have Reinhart at number two?
I have Sam Reinhart number two. Basically, when people think of Sam Reinhart, they're thinking of Jonathan Toews, at least in terms of his style. He doesn't do one thing, you know, stupendous. He does a lot of the little things. He's the best packaged forward in the draft, and I would also go to say that he is probably the best player available in the draft. Some people have argued that Ekblad is, but Ekblad had a little bit of trouble guarding Reinhart, in junior. So Reinhart is the real deal as well, and you can also build a franchise around him. Now, after Ekblad and Reinhart, that's where things start to drop a little bit. You don't have your franchise players. So if we're going to move on straight to the Oilers, I'm going to go with either, I'm going to go out on a limb and go Leon Draisaitl, the centerman.
Wow.
A lot of people think of him as Henrik Sedin. He's big. He's not too physical, but he protects the puck very well. He will score goals. He will throw in the assists. And he really does a good job of getting people together. And, he does make other teammates better. I know the Oilers are trying to trade up, so are the Flames, but I don't think the Panthers are going to let Ekblad go. I think Oilers will let they'll draft Leon Draisaitl at number three.
Just quickly going on that, because I've actually heard a lot of things talking that the Panthers were willing to trade that number one pick. Has their mindset changed in the past week?
they are willing, and as of right now, they've received a quote-unquote fair offer. But from my experience, I don't pay too much attention to the rumors until either the day before the draft or the night of, because truthfully, guys, they start – general managers start talking at the general manager's meeting. They just don't talk about the rules. They start making plans at the general manager's meeting. So everything just starts to brew then on. But the real serious talks, they really don't get started until either the day before or the night of, whenever all the general managers are down in this case, Philadelphia.
Okay, now, again, you're going now to number four in Calgary, and again...
I have Sam Bennett.
Now, that's a question. Now what do you think has been... Now, from what I was seeing over the last 5 or 6 weeks, most people had Sam Bennett at number one, and I mean, to me, looking at some of the... commentary, especially Bob McKenzie on the NHL Network, they look at Sam Bennett, and they obviously he's been tutored and mentored by Doug Gilmore. They have him as basically a Gilmore clone. What do you think has been the reason for him that the drop has happened for him?
And that's why Calgary's trying to trade up. They want Sam Bennett in the worst way. They really want to put Sam Bennett in with Sean Monahan, Calgary's great rookie from last year. They really would like to have like a Taze Kane type of chemistry between the two. So if the Flames could try to get Sam Bennett, that's who they're going to try to get. It's like you said, Dougie Gilmore. I mean, Doug Gilmore used to go one-on-two, one-on-three, wait for his players to show up. Tape-to-tape pass, and he made all of his other players better. That's what the Flames are looking for.
Right, and the thing that Bob McKenzie mentioned a lot about Bennett was his professionalism and his leadership qualities that they feel that Bennett could step in immediately with such a young team that Calgary has.
Oh, that's absolutely right. He's oozing Doug Gilmore, and he's got everything that represents Doug Gilmore, and that's really just he even wears Doug Gilmore's number 93, so that is just a big compliment to Doug Gilmore as to how well he's developed Sam Bennett.
Right. Okay, now we head to number five, where
the big one.
75% of the people at this table are going to be looking at. And again, if what it seems that every CSB ranking, whether it's from the NHL or from either the experts or whatever, they all seem to have a gentleman by the name of Michael Dell'Colli on the list at number five. An Oshawa product, same team as Tavares. What do you say about Dell'Colli?
Dell'Colli is the number one left winger in the draft, bar none, period. When I think of Dell'Colli, I think he's got an ex, Alexei Kovalov, but he can battle. He's a battler. He can battle through the boards. He can score like Alex Kovalev. He's got a great wrist shot. Soft hands. He's got top six potential, and a lot of people are intrigued that, with a Dell'Colli, Tavares, Oposo line. They're just intrigued by it. They think that could happen.
Is there an issue?
Top left winger.
Is there an issue with his size? Because I think he's showing only at like 179 at this point.
He's 179, and that's the other thing. After, I believe it's Jacedo, a lot of these guys have to spend 1 or 2 years developing or maturing, and they should be ready. But size is an issue. But, I say look at Marty St. Louis. Look at some of these other smaller guys. They can do it. Dell'Colli is fast. And if he bulks up for 1 year, he could be on an NHL team.
Right.
In two.
I mean, he's 6'2", so, yeah, I mean, it's
right.
Not the height issue, right?
Yeah,
right? Now, the only other person around in that I'm looking at the mock draft that seems to have a size situation, and it's actually they have him selected at 6, which is Nick Ritchie from Peterborough. What do you got to take on him?
Well, Nick Ritchie's a big boy.
Yeah, 6'2", 230.
Yeah, when I ask about Ritchie, they're thinking Lucic. He's got the size, he's got the grit. Bad idea if you really want to fight him, because he'll drop the gloves and just beat you. So he can also score goals. I wrote in the blog about Ritchie when, he sounds like the Islanders' Clark Gillies, style-wise.
Right, right.
You know, he's not going to drop the gloves just to drop the gloves. You mess with him, he's going to hurt you. But he can also score goals and, make everyone else around him better.
Right. Is there any other person that we haven't talked about other than the top six that you think might
be a like a sleeper pick, if you will? I mean,
Ehlers. Ehlers is the one pick that Nikolai Ehlers. He's going to take a couple of years. He has to get some size in there. But when people think of Ehlers, they think of Patrick Kane. Style-wise, not potential.
Right. He's
great wrist shot. He can accelerate. Great speed. For the Islander fans, Michael Grabner with a scoring touch.
Right. I mean, they have him listed, according to this mock draft, they have him listed at number 8 going to Toronto. But you look,
and he
you
has
look,
been moving up. He was out of the top 10 at one point, and he's now been moving up the draft.
Right. I know you also wrote either yesterday or today about Michael Nylander's kid, William.
Yes.
They have him ranked at number 7. He's playing at a I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, Södertälje in the Swedish league. He's 5'11", yes. 175, almost about the same size as his dad.
Pretty much. He's actually going to be in Modo next season from what I've been able to research on. So he's going to take some time. He's going to spend at least one more year in Europe, but then they feel he really needs the right coach. He needs the right system. Nylander is the prototypical project, and I wrote in my blog, I think he deserves to go to Detroit because Detroit's going to keep their players there until they feel their players are ready to come up. So, and Nylander has like a little bit of a reputation of not being a total team player, so there's a lot of ifs. Right, with Nylander. He's either going to be a big boom or bust.
Well, the problem with that is, unfortunately, they're playing, in the Swedish Elite League, they're playing with a lot older guys
men.
At the age of 17 and 18.
One advantage, yes, he is playing amongst men, which is to his advantage, but they still feel he needs he definitely needs to work on his defense. If there's one style of play that he's definitely good at, it's the finesse game. He has to get a power forward mentality, checking along the boards. Defensively, back-checking, a few hits, every now and then. Definitely working on his defensive game. So he is certainly a little bit more of a project.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you a question here now. This is John.
Sure.
John Sweeney. How are you? It's glad to talk to a good, true, another true Islander fan. And I want to ask you this.
That's a rip, Derek.
My partner on our show is a diehard Ranger fan, and he's still smarting over the choke job. But anyway, let's talk about that later. The Islanders, do you think they trade that pick, or what do you think they do with that pick? Do they take the Colley because they need a left winger, or do you think they trade it for actually a starter right now and to put in there with Tavares and a post?
Well, here's the issue I have. The Islanders need probably a top two or top four defenseman,
yeah,
correct?
I agree.
And you need a partner with Tavares and Oposo. The fifth pick is not going to get you a top-pairing defenseman or a top left winger. You have to give to get. What would it take? I'm not even going to start the rumors, but I'm sure Ryan Strome is on other teams' list. Brock Nelson is on other teams' list. Reinhart is on other teams' list. Maybe Pulak. Would it take a few of those players? Well, not a few, I'm sorry. Maybe one of those players and another player off the Islanders to make that trade?
I don't think
probably.
I don't think Gard Snow wants to trade Griffin Reinhart, though. I don't think
Gard Snow wants to trade anybody. And just to throw this out for Islander fans, for now you can relax because Anders Lee, Ryan Strome, Calvin DeHaan, they're all supposed to be at the draft party as of right now. That's what they're advertised. So
yeah,
I don't think the Islanders are going to trade those three players while they're sitting there signing autographs at the draft and listening to Gary Bettman trade their names over the speakers. So have to wonder what would it take to trade for a left winger or a defenseman.
I heard Donovan might be involved in a trade and some other,
I'll give you Donovan, and I'll tell you right now, I would not be shocked if it was like Donovan, Grabner, or Nielsen.
Yeah.
Would not surprise me at all if that's what it took to get a top left winger. Because losing Nielsen, you still have Brock Nelson, who is more of a centerman than left winger. But you put Nelson in with Tavares and Oposo, that could still be a decent line. Because they have done nothing but rave about Brock Nelson.
Yeah.
Especially in the World Championship.
Right. He had an awesome...
Exactly. His stock went way up.
Right. What do you think, Paul, is the most... Okay, let's just say hypothetically speaking, if Garth was willing to make some sort of trade, What is the most intriguing scenario that you have read? Because I spent today reading a lot of interesting, you know, angles on what could happen.
Well, I know a lot of Islander fans are on the Evander Kane bandwagon. I've actually talked to quite a few people, you know, just regular fans of the Winnipeg Jets. And if it's one thing they know about their GM, he doesn't make a lot of trades. Does not. Pavelich had a horrible season, and he's still keeping Pavelich, their goaltender. He doesn't like a lot of change. He just likes to keep adding and adding and adding. You know, so making a trade with Winnipeg, I think Gartz would actually, you know, make an attempt, but I think it would be more on the Winnipeg side that they just won't make that trade. I don't think Evander Kane goes during the draft unless they're absolutely blown away.
Right.
As far as anybody else, you know, I think Garth said at a town meeting he's trying to look for someone with term, you know, a little bit on the money control. But to be honest with you guys, anyone who's under term usually has a no-trade clause. That's just the way they – that's how the NHL is run these days. A lot of these general managers, they sign these young prospects who have earned their contracts, but they give them no-trade clauses. And they don't go anywhere, which is why you're now seeing a very, very weak free agency over the years. Right. So I don't know who his target is. Not a clue.
Right. Yeah, that's what I. That was my conclusion. I think you read these rumor sites and you just kind of sit there shaking your head going, I don't think any of this is going to happen.
No. And again, it's like I said before, the real rumors, the real stories, that's going to happen the day before the draft or the night of, because that's when the general managers are basically in the same hotel. They're running their numbers. They're trying to figure things out. And that's when the real deal comes to fruition. And at that point, unless we're actually in Philadelphia, you know, we have a spy somewhere, we're not going to find out. That's why everyone was blown away last year when the Devils got Corey Schneider and that Bo Horvat when Vancouver traded Bo Horvat. Okay. It wasn't until I think maybe 2 days before that draft that Bo Horvat was suddenly not going to reach below the tenth draft. You know, he was actually slated to go to the Islanders at 14. All of a sudden, he went all the way up to 9 because Vancouver wanted him in the worst way. Devils took advantage of that, traded Corey Schneider, and that's exactly what happened. That's why the Islanders lost out on Corey Schneider. Vancouver wanted Bo Horvat like a day or two, like really bad. And that's what happened. So the rumors right now, I listen to the rumors. I think there's some of them are enticing, but to be honest with you, the real meat and potatoes of the rumors, they don't start until at least the day before the draft.
Right.
All right, Paul, here's the only Ranger fans. It's these guys are having fun at my expense tonight. Here's my question. Listen, you referenced Gillis. He really messed things up in Vancouver when you think of the goalie situation he had and what he left that team in position-wise going forward. And I've seen Sather make many mistakes with the Rangers. He's gotten out of a lot of trouble with the buyouts and guys retiring or Wade Redden disappearing through the minor leagues. And listen, I've seen Snow make some questionable decisions. And part of his problem is a lot of guys don't want to come here and sign to play with the Islanders. So you're the draft expert. I'm not. I don't follow the NHL like that. I don't get to watch a lot of major junior hockey. But listening to you talk, if the Islanders are sitting at 5 and Florida's up there and they're willing to trade, what would it take for the Islanders to trade up to that spot?
Ooh.
Because I got to be honest with you. Listen to you. I'm just listening to you talk. And when you parallel Sam Reinhart and say he's a possible John Tavares-type player, and we all know about Eric Ekblad, and you just said the Islanders need a big-time defenseman, and there are no big-time free agent, stay-at-home, tough defensemen that can fire the puck from the point. So my question is, why wouldn't the Islanders be intrigued? With seeing what Snow's done over the years, why wouldn't it be intriguing to see him trade up with Florida and then take one of those two guys then?
Well, believe it or not, Elliot Friedman actually brought up the possibility of uniting the Reinhart brothers, Griffin and Sam, and it's because of Griffin that the Islanders probably will not go after Ekblad. If I were Garth Snow, I'd be sneaky. I'd just hold on to that number one position, and anyone who wanted Ekblad, like I go to Edmonton, to be perfectly honest with you. Edmonton has the number 3 pick.
Okay.
I would probably just trade up. I've got now the number one position. If I don't get a great deal from Edmonton on a forward for Ekblad, I just go with Reinhart. And, you know, Buffalo needs everything. Buffalo would probably take Ekblad at that point. The Islanders do not need Ekblad because we have Griffin Reinhart.
Okay.
Griffin Reinhart is practically NHL ready. He has accomplished everything that he can in the junior levels. At worst, Islander fans may expect Griffin Reinhart to be in Bridgeport maybe for the first 30 games, a la Travis Hamonic. But if not, I would expect Griffin Reinhart to be on the Islander team starting at the beginning of the season.
Right, and then you got Calvin DeHaan. I mean, they have a few defensemen in the system. DeHaan's played a bunch of games now, and you're talking about Reinhart. So I got to be honest, you're just looking at what the Islanders have done and seeing the calamity that goes on at times. And I understand that Snow is handcuffed with the salary cap and not being able to spend the way you would, and maybe that affects the perception of players when they look at the Islanders and say, no, I'm not going to go there. No, I'm going to go into free agency. But I got to be honest with you. If I was a GM, I'd probably look to trade up with Florida. If Florida really is considering trading out of that spot, you're only a few picks away. It couldn't take that much to switch spots. I probably would do it. I got to be honest with you. That's what I would be looking to do.
Well, let me ask you this question real quick. The Chicago Blackhawks are possibly going to trade Patrick Sharp. He's a left winger, and the Islanders need that. Have you heard anything about that possibly they could trade that pick for Sharp? Because they have to sign Thames and Kane, and Sharp looks like he's going to be the odd guy out in that whole deal.
Who's the odd man now?
Patrick Sharp. I'm sorry. Sharp.
Oh, wouldn't that be interesting?
He's a left winger. Yeah.
You'd have to give up a lot more than just your pick, though.
Well, we could give you a pick and a couple plays.
Yeah, but if you trade up with Florida, you don't have to give away guys
give away,
that you cover.
Yeah. Right.
You can have a draft party, and everybody can have a lot of fun signing autographs.
But Sharp plays.
And you got everybody in place, right? And then you go and get one of those.
Let me make this quick.
But Sharp plays.
Yeah, let's think because we're gonna
go ahead.
No, this would have to be a cap move. Not too many players would be going from the island to Chicago. They need to free up, yes, to sign Taze and Kane over the long term.
Because they are close to the cap right now. Right, they're close to the new cap.
They are at the cap, exactly.
Right.
I have heard Christopher Stieg is available. Possibly Nick Leddy, the nice defenseman who could be a top four, who has the playoff pedigree. There's, you know, possibilities there. But Patrick Sharp, truthfully, the Isles win that.
Yeah.
If it's just a fifth overall pick for Patrick Sharp and their pick, you know, maybe we'll throw him a prospect here and there. Mm. That would still be a win for the Islanders, no question.
Yeah, sounds great. Listen, Paul, we appreciate the time. We appreciate your insight. Again, for those of you who don't subscribe, please check out Paul's draft pick. Pick previews and everything on islestalk.com, Paul.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, it
awesome
is. And, yes, you know, John and I can say it because it's our site. So, but, Paul, again, we appreciate Paul, am I going to see you at the draft party on Friday?
I'm still thinking about it. I have to see if I get out of work.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully we will see you then, Paul. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate
it.
All right. Take care. All right. So we're going to take a little quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to take your calls. So if you're on there, please give us the line, 631-888-8811. We'll be coming back to Sports Talk 1240 after these messages on WGBB.
You're listening to Sports Radio New York on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
Check out the Sports Radio New York network of shows every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. Call in to our live shows at 631-888-8811. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Radio NY. And be sure to check out all past shows online at sportsradioNY.com. And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Okay, and we're back to Sports Talk 1240 with Gary, John, Derek, and John. And, John, what will Brown do for you?
Yeah, where'd you get that jersey anyway, huh?
I have.
That looks like it came right out of the
box.
By
the way, John, turn around and just show everybody on a camera. Anybody that's watching us on the camera right now, he's just switched from his Hamannik shirt to his Dustin Brown LA Kings captain
jersey. Folks, what you're looking at is a typical Islander fan come April, May, and June. Put away the Islander gear and grab the nearest jersey of who's making a Ranger fan's life miserable.
I will say this.
That's just great.
Before the playoffs started, we did our picks on Facebook for the website.
Okay.
And I picked the LA Kings winning the whole thing.
That's right. And who did I pick?
You took the Chicago Blackhawks.
Who did I pick originally?
You had the Kings.
And you begged me to change it.
Yes.
All right.
And actually, I've had LA and Montreal in the final, so I wasn't far off. I wasn't far off.
Let me ask you this question.
Let me ask you this, though. You had the Rangers losing to Pittsburgh in the second
round. In the second round, I thought, objectively, if that's
the
round,
I don't know any Ranger fan that had the Rangers going to the Cup. I don't know any of them.
You wouldn't have many except the blind diehard fan.
Right.
We're trying to make objective picks.
Watch that blind comment, Derek.
No, but my wishes are
I had them play out Boston in the semifinals. Just because
let me ask you this question.
One person.
Oh, boy.
Because of one person.
Let me ask you this question.
We're going to take calls in a minute, guys. We'll let this go through.
Let's be honest about this. If Ben Bishop didn't get hurt, right?
Yes.
Because Ben Bishop, in my opinion, deserves to win the Vezina. Everybody agree about
that? I agree. Totally agree.
So if Ben Bishop did not get hurt, and Tampa Bay, in all honesty, probably would have beaten Montreal. I'm not saying that they definitely would have because they got swept, but that was without their top goalie. Mm-hmm. So if they had their top goalie, because Stamkos was back, and let's say they didn't trade St. Louis. Hold on, right? And the whole thing unfolded surrounding St. Louis' life with his mom passing away, and they got through Montreal, and in the second round that happened. What do you think? You think Tampa Bay would have went to the Cup?
It's a possibility.
They probably would have.
We talked
and
about
it. Maybe they would have bounced the LA Kings and tell you'd be pulling out a Stamkos jersey instead of a Dustin Brown jersey.
Brown, there you go. Let me tell you
that's just how fate affects
Brown.
Maybe if Price didn't get hurt. And then maybe Montreal.
Yeah, Tukarski played great though. He did.
He didn't let him down. But anyway, we're gonna try to take calls here. We got one on the line. If you want to call into the show again, the number is 631-888-8811. And we got a caller on the line.
I think we got Rich from Manhattan on the line, possibly.
Rich, how are you doing, Rich?
Doing good.
This is a pleasure for me. For John and Gary, this is a secret draft weapon right here. He's like a missile. He is a draft guru. He is the self-proclaimed Mel Kiper of NHL draft. Rich, thanks for calling in. Tell us what you got on this draft.
Rich, just want to say one thing. I went through like 15 picks for the draft. I was talking to Rich. He did like 250. So Rich knows, like you said, he is Mel Kiper. Okay, here we go.
So Rich, critique my guy Paul that was on the show earlier. I mean, he's done his homework. I think he's done a great job. But what do you think?
He's got his opinions.
Uh-oh. He's got his opinions. Okay.
Everyone's got their own opinion.
Okay.
Now, first of all, with this first pick, Ekblad's going to be first. It's just a matter of if the Panthers are going to keep the pick or not. Now, Vancouver is desperate for a defenseman because they have to make up for the death of Luc Bourdon. They've never replaced that first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
They really want to move up. I don't know if they can get up to one from six, but you never know, because Kessler wants out. He's got a very cap-friendly salary. That's a salary that Florida can do.
And he's a great two-way forward.
Kessler's on his last year, right?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
And he will be reunited with Luongo. Now, on the other hand, Florida really has to start winning. The new owners, the guys from Brooklyn that bought the team a few years ago, they got to have something to show. They got to start winning while Luongo still has a few more years left, right? But they already have a problem where Brian Campbell is demanding a trade.
I forgot about
so that. You're gonna you might lose him on defense. Gudbranson really hasn't worked out. They passed up on Seth Jones.
Yep.
Now they're talking about trading the pick, get a veteran defenseman from somewhere. They're saying if it's Vancouver, it might be Chris Tarnoff. But Vancouver's going to have to give up a lot more than Tarnoff to get number one for Ekblad.
Right. Yeah.
Tanev is a number five defensive at best.
He's a third line defenseman.
Yeah.
You know, if I were Florida, I would keep the pick and take Ekblad and move on. But supposedly they're open to dealing. That is true.
Why are they open to dealing, though? If that's what they really need, why would you be open to dealing if you think Ekblad is
the next Drew Doughty?
Because
they want to win now. They don't want to wait for him to develop.
Well, maybe Doughty steps in right away. A lot of guys recently have stepped right in. Maybe tougher on defense
than
forward.
He will be on the team, but he's not going to be an impact player the first year.
Right.
They should have taken Seth Jones last year. That's the bottom line.
Right.
They just should have.
So you think they're willing to deal because they need to win now? That's what you're saying.
They want to win now. The clock is running on Luongo. Huberdeau had a down year, but he's still good. I don't know how good Barkov is. He was okay, but
He didn't turn a lot of heads as many
people
expected.
But it's the first year.
Yeah.
You know what, we're going to bury a guy when he's 19?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they don't turn out to be Mario Lemieux in the first year?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way it is. Now, the Sabres, with the second pick, I think it's a mortal lock they take Reinhardt. He doesn't slip. There's no way.
Yeah, he's probably the
He's very good. Good two-way player. The Oilers, with the third pick, their greatest need is a goalie. But there's no goalie that's worth the third pick. They have a whole bunch of forwards. They're still waiting to see Taylor Hall and Ryan Nugent Hopkins if they're ever going to stay healthy down, you know, with that. Eberle is very good. They signed,
Schultz.
The defenseman
Schultz.
From college.
Schultz. Justin Schultz.
Justin Schultz. They have him. They have Darnell Nurse, Donovan McNabb's cousin. Or nephew or whatever, he's coming up probably this year to play defense. But they really need defense as well as a goalie. And a goalie's only as good as your defense. So Edmonton is another team that really should have won the lottery. And then they would take Ekblad and that would be it.
Right.
Gee, you didn't mention that guy, what's his name, Neil Yakupov?
Yeah, whatever.
Gee, whatever happened to him?
He's a head case.
No kidding.
He shouldn't have been their pick. That year they should have taken Ryan Murray, who went to Columbus. They just should have.
Yeah, but Nugent Hopkins and Hall should be a great starting point for any
Hall
team.
Hall is very good. I've never bought Nugent Hopkins. I've never bought into him. He's thin. He's a good playmaker. But I've never bought into him as a number one overall.
Right. No.
No, never bought into that.
To me, he was overhyped.
The Flames, I would guess they would go with Sam Bennett. You know, I don't know why he was the number one pick of Central Scouting, number one rated. He's a good player. All this stuff about Gilmore, that's a bit much. And then we get to our team.
Yeah, tell me, what should your team do?
Now, first of all, my team shouldn't be picking. This should be Buffalo. And my team should be in the lottery next year because odds are they're not going to make the playoffs. And I'd hate to see the ping pong ball come up next year and Buffalo is going to take Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel. I just hate not to be in that lottery. Plain and simple. And your guest made a mistake. He was talking about Ekblad getting in the OHL as an exceptional rule, one of two. Obviously, the first one was Tavares, but there was a third, and he's Connor McDavid, and he's next year.
Okay.
And I think he's a mortal lock for number one. A lot of people are going to talk up Eichel. Eichel is very, very good, but I think he's way behind Connor McDavid.
McDavid's he's a monster in a young body.
As far as Michael Del Cole, he's a good player, but for a guy with size, he doesn't get a lot of penalty minutes. He's very soft, And when they say, oh, you know, a left wing, he could be Clark Gillies. You know what? He could be Brad Delgarno and Derek King.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when the Islanders drafted them in the same year in the first round, and I remember Jim Houston on TV saying, these are big boys. You better fill up that car with a lot of air in the tires.
That's because Jerry Eamon always picked guys from the Western Hockey League.
I
specifically
love guys from
Prince
the
Albert
West.
And Saskatoon.
Oh, my God.
And
the late Duncan McPherson, who died while skiing. He got caught in a crevice. And things like that.
Do you remember 1990 when the Islanders had the number 6 pick in the draft and Pittsburgh had the number 5? Everybody remembers who Pittsburgh picked at number 5.
That's right.
But we're not going to talk about Scott Sissons and his injuries before he got into the draft.
Well, he's the heart of the Saskatoon Police Department now.
Well, look, I'm supposedly someone who knows about this stuff. I've been doing it for over 30 years. But I've been wrong, and I was damn wrong with a pick the Islanders took that I totally agreed with Dave Chyzowski. They took him right after Quebec took Matt Sundin, and I thought Chyzowski should have been the first pick. It didn't merit. It didn't work.
Rich, you told me the best pick you thought the Islanders made was 1994 with Brett Lindros. Isn't that true?
I never understood that one. I don't think we've ever discussed him with his concussions before he got
still
in the league.
I'm still waiting for you to tell me. I know that you think the Islanders should keep next year's pick. It didn't happen. I know that you agree. I understand you're thinking as a GM. I agree with you. However, I want to know what you say they should do this year, given what they have.
If I were them, if you're going to take the pick, I would go with Del Cole if you take the pick. But I would strongly shop it around.
So you'd look to trade down or trade for a ready now player?
I would trade to go lower in the first round and get an established player and a first-round pick for next year. So you really got to trade with a team that you think is going to be in the lottery next year.
Right.
Like how they got Pat LaFontaine in 83.
Mm-hmm. With Colorado.
When they traded with Colorado and they got there. And, you know, the funny part of that year was that Jimmy D in Detroit really wanted to take LaFontaine at 4. Well, he got a hell of a great gift after LaFontaine was taken at 3, and that player was Steve Yzerman. They wanted LaFontaine in the worst way.
He played for Detroit for a while. He's from Detroit, yeah.
I think the Islanders did pretty good with LaFontaine.
There's a guy from Massapequa, Long Island, that I want to talk about. He's going to be picked in the first round, late first round, maybe the middle first round. His name's Sonny Milano.
According to one of the mocks.
He's going to play for Boston College. He originally gave a verbal commitment to play for Notre Dame. But he had an injury, and he really wanted to go to Boston College at first, but they sort of backed off. But then when they saw he came back from his injury, they re-offered him the scholarship. So he's going to go to Boston College. He's got really good hands. The only problem is that he gets a little selfish. I don't think he trusts his teammates. He's got to learn to pass the puck.
What about trading? What about making a deal now for like a ready player, left winger, or
no?
Okay.
No, I think whatever they have now, fine. You know, this is a lame duck year in Long Island.
You don't think they have a chance to make the playoffs?
I disagree with you.
What teams that made the top 8 this year are going to slip? And what teams make the top 8 do you think are not better than them?
Columbus.
Obviously, Buffalo is not going to be better, and probably Carolina will not be better.
Maybe Columbus ain't going to be better than they were.
Columbus has a crew.
They do
they
have
got
a crew,
young
but
guys.
That doesn't guarantee anything.
Their team is a young, up-and-coming team.
The Islanders were young and up-and-coming 2 years ago also without a goalie. So, I mean, what are we talking about here?
But Columbus has the goalie.
You're blinding yourself with, you know.
They have Ryan Murray. They have Rijo scoring all those goals. Oh my God, they've got a team.
Long Islander Cam Atkinson had a great year for him too.
They still have a lot of growing up to do too.
They do, but I think the important thing for the Islanders is go into the new building with a lot of hope And that's how you do it. If you want to get veteran players to sell tickets, because let's face it, the average fan, they're sort of suckers in a way. They hear a veteran guy that's usually over the hill, but they're going to buy the tickets because they know the name. Young kids don't sell the tickets, but, you know, if you want to do that stuff next year, do it next summer.
I think the Islanders are going to try to put a product on. This is the last year at the Coliseum, and they're going to try to win. They want to bring.
They're not going to. It's not going to happen.
And they're going to set up.
The glass is almost completely empty.
They're selling the team. The team's going to be gone. They're going to get a new.
Good. And the new ownership will. And the new ownership will have to decide if they're going to put money into the team to go with the building. You got to remember, if they're going to the new building, first of all, they're going to have less seats than a real NHL arena. I know they could retrofit and add maybe 500 more seats, but they're going to charge a lot more in tickets because they have to get the revenue. But then again, they are in a new building. People are going to want to see hockey in the new building, and you have a market in Brooklyn where you've got a lot of people there that will support anything that's
right.
in Brooklyn.
I agree.
You know, you're really disappointed, Rich, because I've got to be honest with you.
Just look at the Nets.
Hold on.
The Nets would sell out in Brooklyn.
Hold on.
But they have.
I'm sitting here listening to you, and you're upset that they traded next year's first-round pick.
Yeah.
And I can't believe, listen, if their future revolves around Griffin Reinhardt, they got Ryan Strome with
Tavares. Yeah, but it's not going to happen.
Those are the core young guys that they need to build around. So why wouldn't you just say, let's trade up and get one of those other two guys?
Because next year the top eight are better than the top five this year.
You don't have a pick next year, though, in the first round. You don't have.
Which I'm very upset about.
Well, so I got to be honest with you.
But whoever they take this year, it's not going to help them make the playoffs this year.
When they go
year.
To Brooklyn, it'll help them get Ekblad or get Reinhardt's brother. What's the big deal? I got to be honest
with you. They're not going
to
get Reinhardt's brother.
Listening to all of you, that's what you said.
Why can't they trade down? Why can't they trade down to the second pick?
Trade up with Florida.
Trade up.
They don't have to make the trade.
Okay, so when are they going to fire Gus Snow then?
As soon as the team sold.
Well, a new owner will want his own guy.
Right.
It's enough they made Dougie Waite the assistant GM for now. I don't know why. If
you know what?
The management
you guys
blamed Doug.
You can't even get me excited about the Islanders draft. This is disappointing.
What's exciting about this draft? There's not. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, what do you want? Bennett?
I think the Islanders should bring in Gillis as the next GM.
There you go.
You like Mike Gillis, don't you?
No.
Yeah.
I still don't know how they blew out both goalies.
Please, we don't want them jumping off the ledge now. You know, come on.
No, I'm just busting your chops.
But
I really do think the Islanders, if Florida's going to dangle that pick, I would try and do something like that.
I don't think they have what Florida wants.
So then, tell me that's the answer.
What Florida would demand.
All right. So you're saying Florida, they can't do a deal with them. All right.
No,
that's fine. I can agree with that.
Hey, Rich, Nabokov turned down a one-year deal with them. Real quick, just getting off this thing here. Well, who do you think is going to be the backup goalie for the Islanders?
Yes!
Probably Poulin.
Poulin.
Since when do we care who the backup goalie is for our team?
We don't know who's going to be there.
You're telling me you're worried about the backup?
Camp.
Come on.
Who's coming to summer camp that was in junior or college hockey that is due to come? We don't know. All we know is Halak will start.
That's right. And Tavares should be healthy.
And you figure he plays 50 at
Tavares
the minimum.
Be healthy.
Those are your two main concerns.
So it doesn't matter who the backup is at this point.
Exactly. Those are your two main concerns. You got to go.
It's June 22nd.
And you got Tavares.
Hope he's healthy.
You got Tavares.
Yeah.
Oposo. You got a team.
You need DeHaan.
DeHaan
stepped it up.
He's damaged.
So you don't think
he played great.
Why he doesn't think they're going to be there next year.
Well, Colorado did it with all those first rounders. How come the Islanders can't?
You wanted him to call up. The caller called up, and he said your team's going nowhere next year. You're without a first round pick in 2015.
I'm
so tell him how you feel now.
I'm honest about my favorite team. If I don't think they're that good, I'll tell you.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat
it. I think they're making the playoffs, Rich. That's my opinion. But that's
I just can't see who from the top eight is going to drop to a point where the Islanders are going to get into the eight.
There's a great diehard Islander fans here. I still can't believe they haven't cut you off yet, but I'm going to let you hang on as long as you want. You are the voice of doom. This is great. You made my summer a little better.
Mr. Choke over there.
Well, let me tell you something. Did I say about the Coles family? He's got a very interesting family story.
No, you didn't. Go ahead.
His mom has survived breast cancer a couple of times, and he has a younger brother who's autistic. So clearly he's a mature guy as far as emotions because he's been through a lot for a 17-year-old. That's in his favor.
Right.
you know, but you got to still do it on the ice. And I'm just a little worried when I see a guy of his size and he only had 34 penalty minutes in 67 games this year and 18 penalty minutes in a full season last year at Oshawa. I don't know. You know, how much of a left wing? You got to be a little physical. You got to be a power forward somewhat. And he just hasn't demonstrated
that. Well, Ryan O'Reilly had a great year in Colorado last year.
And they're
going to
get rid of Ryan O'Reilly because of the money.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
you know,
they're going to
let Paul Stastny. You know, maybe the Islanders should try to sign Paul Stastny.
Yeah, maybe.
Even though he's got his injury
issues. We're going to start talking about now.
We're going to talk about that right now.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the UFAs and the RFAs, obviously. You know, you look at the list. And that's the one that obviously comes up to the top of the list right now.
Are we keeping this guy on or are we cutting him off?
No, I got no other buddy calling.
Rich, let me give you a fun fact quiz for you and the rest of the Islander fans here. Who is the last player, since we know they drafted so many in the 70s,
okay.
who is the last Islander drafted in the first round that made the Hall of Fame? Do you know? You should know.
The last Islander that they drafted.
The most recent Islander drafted in the first round that made the Hall of Fame. Right, since we obviously think Tavares should be the next one. But who was the last one before him, let's say, since he's early in his career?
Patty.
Probably LaFontaine.
LaFontaine, 1983. Yeah. Yep. And I'm telling you right now, the reason I don't get excited about the draft, first of all, the Rangers.
But it will be Luongo.
The Rangers don't draft that. He ain't making the whole thing. He stinks. Come on. he had his chance in 2011. Old man Tim Thomas took him down. First of all, with the draft, I don't know how you do it, because the NBA and the NFL... You know, with those drafts, the college, the NCAA, that's like the minor leagues for those sports.
Yeah.
So with hockey, it's totally different. It's almost as bad as baseball, where you don't see these guys. It's getting a little better. You see these guys a little more in terms of getting to the top level a little quicker than in baseball. But that's one reason I never get behind the draft that much. And the other one, Rich, is the Rangers have never. I'm like, everyone's asking, "Oh, you upset they don't have a first round?" I'm like, first round pick. I made the Stanley Cup. Tampa Bay can have that pick. I'll give anybody that pick every year if I can make it to the Cup. The Rangers, they never draft. We talked about it on the phone. The best pick the Rangers have had in the last 20 something years, it was Kovalev in the first round. And that's way back in what, 1991?
I thought you were going to say Jim Malone.
Who?
Yeah, Jim exactly. Malone, 1980, yeah. Never played a game. No. Greg Malone's brother.
No, what about the two guys they took in 99? Brendel and who was the other guy?
Oh, Pavel Brendel, I thought was going to be a big-time NHL player. It didn't work.
You thought.
That's another one I was wrong.
I saw Derek Hugh Jessamine, too.
Hugh Jessamine had leg injuries at Dartmouth.
Mm-hmm.
He came into the league. Now, another guy they had that I think played a few games that they drafted from Michigan State, Michael Stewart. He didn't turn out to be anything.
Another nobody.
Well, Rich, let me ask you.
And then they had the Ferraro brothers.
Oh, right, the Ferraro brothers from Long Island. Here's what they had since I've been watching. They had Brian Leetch in 86, I think they drafted him in the first round.
86, yep.
And they had Kovalev. I want to say Kovalev was in 91.
Yeah, he was.
That's about it.
91 draft, yeah.
That's about it. And he was. Here's a fun fact, Sweeney.
Well, do you want to give the benefit of the doubt on
Kovalev? Kovalev was the first Russian drafted in the first round.
Do you want to give the benefit of the doubt that Sharapanov would have been something had he lived?
You know, I noticed you bring up a lot of guys that passed away during this draft club.
The Islanders had a guy they drafted in 84 in the second round.
Are you trying to
Melanson, who died of a heart attack. He played for Oshawa.
Are you trying to allude to this being like a funeral for the Islanders in the draft or something like that?
No.
You bring up a lot of guys that passed away.
I brought this up before. Let me ask you a question. Patrick Shaw from the Kings. He's 5.9 million. They got to make a move because they're not going to be able to sign him because they're with Kane and Tomes. What do you think? You think the Islanders can make a move? They need a left winger. Think they should make a move for him and try to make a deal for him?
Not based on how he played in the playoffs. No.
What is this guy? This guy isn't some
he's
GM.
He's the president of
Patrick Shaw. He's a draft guru. This guy's a draft guru. He's not a GM. What do you think? He's Mike Tannenbaum?
I don't think
you're no more than an accountant.
What about Gabrick, too?
So we should go after Gabrick?
From what I heard, Gabrick is signing with L.A.
Gabrick, when he went to the Rangers, I said he's a walking injury waiting to happen. Fortunately, with the Rangers, he actually stayed healthier than when he was with Minnesota.
Now he keeps it up the next 3 years. He's going to get a statue next to Gretzky outside the Staples Center.
He looked good in that bathing suit with the Stanley Cup on the beach the other day.
I'll be honest with you. From what I saw the entire playoffs, and I have no problem with Justin Williams, but I'll tell you, if I had a vote, if I was a member of the media, I would have voted for Gabrick for the Conn Smythe. No question.
I think it was just more
clutch. The key goals he had early in the playoff run and against the Rangers, He had the two most important goals. He tied game two, at four, and he tied game five.
Right.
And both of them right from in front of the net, which, in case Ranger fans forgot, was right where he was when he scored in triple overtime against the Capitals back in 2012.
Right.
The guy, I tell you, he was outstanding. They just brought him in because they couldn't score any goals in the regular season, and look at what he provided for them.
Well, let me ask you a question again. It's dealing with unrestricted free agents, and we were talking about it before we came on the air. What about the potential of the Islanders possibly going after Matt Niskanen?
I don't know.
Niskanen is good, though. I like him on Pittsburgh.
He is good.
He is good.
And let me ask you a question to follow up. Do you really agree with Pittsburgh blowing up the franchise because they lost to the Rangers?
No.
Like, you fire your GM and your coach?
I don't.
Like, that's a panic move to me.
I don't.
And they couldn't even get the coach they wanted. What is going on in Pittsburgh? I hope they fail miserably. I would love nothing more than to see Mario Lemieux fall right on his face.
Well, there's something all four of us in this room can agree on at the same time.
Yes, we can definitely agree.
I mean, don't you perceive that as reality? No, I think that's a panic move by Pittsburgh doing that, to fire both of those guys? Come on, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That it had to be something in the room or a philosophical issue with ownership for them to blow out.
From what I read, the players were all still behind Dan Bylsmith.
I don't know. That last game against the Rangers, Sidney shouting at the coach, that
he can shout all he wants, Rich. He had three games to one. No, hold on.
Magic Johnson, Paul Westhead situation going on.
Do you not talk to, you talk about him in regards to Gretzky, do you not?
What, Crosby?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's a fantastic player. He's all time great.
Well, he had a 3-1 lead. You think he has the right to say anything about the coach? You're up 3-1, and you got Malkin as your Robin to you being Batman, supposedly.
2 minutes.
I got to be honest with you, Rich. I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh, but I looked at that as being a total panic move. The only thing I want you to research and get back to me later on is, do you think it's because those Penguins haven't drafted well while Chiaro's been there? Because they did get Malkin, Crosby, and Fleury before he got there in 2006. But he's been more about surrounding the superstars with role players. Do you think it's the drafting that did him in or was part of the reasoning, or do you think it's something else?
I think it's inside the room. It's something that the average person doesn't know about.
Right. All right, here's for God's snow.
All right, we've got to do this quick because we've got about 90 seconds left.
Move up to number two, try to get Reinhardt, or
it's
trade the pick.
It's not going to happen. Buffalo is not going to move that pick.
Right. That's
but
guaranteed.
Florida's the guy to trade with.
Florida got to trade with. You get Reinhardt. You have the Reinhardt brothers.
Buffalo is not going to trade. Calgary is happy at
Florida
four.
Has the first overall pick. No?
Edmonton might trade, though.
Forget about it.
You can't fail.
You got to go to number one.
If Florida has the first overall pick.
All right, guys. We got one minute. We're gonna have to pull Rich. Rich, thank you for calling in. We really appreciate it. Anytime you want to come on our show, please do.
Happy draft day.
You did good.
All right, thanks.
Your new nickname is Grim Reaper. Nice job.
Well, this, guys, was a blast. We did this at a last-minute deal. I mean, John and I are back on next Sunday night for Sports Talk 1240, and we'll continue about how everything went in the draft and prepare for what free agency is going. Derek, John, absolute pleasure.
Let's go on this. Hopefully we do the right thing.
I enjoy getting together with you guys.
Thank you, guys.
I just want to say, John, I hope you sweated your butt off in that jersey.
Because
it's hot in here, baby.
By the way, these three guys are going to have a fun ride back home.
Dustin Brown.
And we'll see you guys next Sunday night at 9 o'clock on WGBB 1240, Sports Talk 1240. Have a great week. And in the words of my friend Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody.
Not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.